Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and today we're talking once again about Alzheimer's. And with me this afternoon are the experts that we talked to earlier in the year, Dr. Rada Schubach. Chad Partington is the executive director to Good Life Senior Living Center over in Northeast El Paso. Sabrina Shaddix is with us as well. I'd like to call her the muse to the group. All three of you, welcome back to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Since the last airing, last time that we spoke about Alzheimer's and whatnot, we've had a number of listeners asking, almost in a panic situation, will I get Alzheimer's? And, you know, the question from this little pedestrian host is, you know what, you really don't panic. It's not, it is, but it isn't. Don't panic about it. The probability is, it's all inside your family and whatnot. Let me, Dr. Schubach, let's first start there. What happens?
Well, I don't want to panic anybody, but I just want to give a little bit of piece of physiology. And I'm talking about, I would say, since we are born, and talking about the brain, talking about the matter, which is called, you know, the gray matter, that we are born, all of us, we are born with a certain thickness of the gray matter. As we know, it's not only the gray matter who count in terms of our ability to have a good cognitive function, but is also the ability of the gray matter, how it interacts with the other synapses or the other connections in the brain. And this is something that I learn that it's interesting that the gray matter, which is made of the neurons, are losing a constant amount of neurons that they cannot be rejuvenated all on our lifespan. So this is a constant rate that our gray matter is losing. And if we have to live forever, we're not going to have any more gray matter. In other words, that layer of gray matter start become thinner and thinner by the age of 120. So in other words, for the people out there listening to me, is that by the age of 120, that is the maximum limit, usually, that we as a human can live. I will cite here something from a Hebrew Bible, and it says, Ad meve etzrim, which means to live till 120. I don't know why. I don't know why is that on an ancient Hebrew Bible coming up in a scientific demonstration that our lifespan as humans is up to 120. So talking about if you're going to have Alzheimer's or not, the likelihood that we're going to develop one form or other of dementia, the older we get, that likelihood goes higher. In other words, if we're living and we reach the age of 90, 95, we're most likely going to have some form of dementia, which is, you know, characterized by memory loss and so forth. Now, you have to remember that we're talking here about humans that, you know, they are perfectly healthy till the age of 120, right? Which is almost impossible because a lot of us, we develop hypertension, we have, you know, diabetes, stroke, and so forth. So I would say that if we are happy and we live and we have a healthy life, okay, we have less chances to develop Alzheimer's or associated dementia the longer we live. So there are many factors that start occurring as we develop as humans that will impact that. Now, talking about Alzheimer's by itself, as we said last time, that is the most common form of dementia. From all of them, comprise about 60 to 70%. Yes, again, if we have a genetic, the siblings, mother and father and so forth, developing Alzheimer's at an early age, the likelihood that you're going to have it is high. And so I would say that In order to avoid that, I make it either you don't live so long and you don't have it, or you live longer, but then you have to be careful and to take a good care of your health. And, you know, that might be another topic, how the health, nutrition has an impact on later on developing dementia and probably also Alzheimer's. So don't panic out there. So don't commit suicide either. and I think each period in our life, it's worth it to live and, you know, to make the most of it. So I think we should concentrate on that. And I don't know if I answered to the question right, but that's my advice is to take it each step at a time and do not think about it and just have a healthy lifestyle.
There's the so as we get to the point where we age and we need medical assistance, when we start getting into the realm of Alzheimer's, of dementia, all of the dimensions that come with that. Chad, that's where your facility comes in. You have a humanistic approach to helping families treat loved ones with Alzheimer's and dementia in a very one-on-one sort of way to do it.
Yeah, so what was just being spoken about really leads into what we do very well, because saying, you know, at whatever stage of life you're at, whether it's really, really old or not so old or younger, make the best of it and live life to the fullest. Well, okay, some people fear being 90, 95 years old. Now I can't take care of myself. Now I need someone to feed me. You know, I'm worthless now. I can't do anything. And, you know, that nothing could be further from the truth as far as we're concerned. At that point, there's so much more to life. And not just what can I do, but what could that person offer to others? The wisdom, the knowledge that they've gained their whole life, how can they impart that? And so as far as good life and what we do is trying to maximize that quality of life at whatever stage, whether you're 82 or, you know, 102. It doesn't matter. There's something to be enjoyed and wisdom to be shared and those kind of things no matter what. And so we're trying to create an environment that is not too big, not too small, so that people can thrive and, you know, still live a great and full life, whatever age.
It makes a lot of sense to me to have something along that line, Dr. Spock.
Well, I just want here to add a little bit about what Chad said, which is very important in terms of the so-called friend, that, you know, people getting older, they are losing their friends and they are losing the people that, you know, they know for a lifetime. And the most problem which I have with a lot of patients at the extreme age is that they said there is no reason for me to live anymore because I don't have friends anymore. Everybody died already. And, you know, to create a new environment and to create a relationship at that age is extremely difficult. And having an environment like Chad described with a one-to-one or a new friend that give a new meaning in life for those people, that is very important. And most of those elderly people, they suffer from depression because of that. And that is one of the reasons they want to live anymore. So from an environment where they have friends and they have family, coming in an environment, I'm not talking about in general, an environment where you have a nursing home where it's more like a prison for them, there's no reason to live for that. And I understand then you start using medications, you start using to stimulate their appetite, but this is all artificial. You cannot replace the brain. So replace a friend with a new friend, create a new environment. That is a very important aspect. And that's what I wanted to complete here.
So let me give an example of this very specific thing. When we have a resident move in, whoever they are, for lack of a better term, assigned a new best friend. Okay. And so that's a caregiver or the manager or whoever it is. And so every day their task is to have some type of special moment with that resident. So maybe today they got that resident to tell them a story about when they were a kid or what their husband did or what their children did, what, you know, something that they accomplished, something, anything from their past that they still remember and still brings a pleasant memory to them. They're supposed to do this every day. And when they do that, it might be as simple as singing a song while someone's getting dressed that they maybe used to sing to their kids. Who knows? Whatever it is. And then that moment is then journaled every day. And when that resident maybe chooses to move somewhere else or if they pass away, we then take that journal of all these moments that they – these moments of joy that they experienced at that advanced age or these moments of joy that they remember about their kids or whatever, and we give that to the family. And then they're able to say, wow, look at what my mom, my dad, my grandfather remembered about me or my mom, or look at the joy and the quality of life that he still had even then. And I think that's a blessing to the resident, to the family, and to our caregivers who are getting to experience that and learn something that they would have never known otherwise.
You know, it's a gift. It's an extension of life for several different dimensions. For the caregiver, it gives them a lot more of a positive end of hope that when they get to that age, they may not wind up with that kind of dementia. You know, because they're able to use their brain in a way that maybe functions a lot better because the cognizant fact is just constantly rolling. The synapses are constantly happening. When you look at the patient and the families, the joy that you just described of look at how vibrant at that point in time, that's got to give them a lot of solace. That's a tremendous service that you guys have over at Good Life. You really do. This is an incredible thing. So what happens when your facility gets full?
Well, then we do our best to build another one. You know, accommodate, you know, as many people as we can. But what we don't do is we never build on. Because when you build on, we then lose what we have been preaching all along is this, we're going to give individualized care. It's not going to be too big. It's not too small. We just lost that if we then build on. So what we do instead is we build a different home, you know, right next to it or maybe in a part of town that needs it more, whatever the case is, so that we can still serve a population in the way that we believe works the best.
See, and that's all part of community, and that's a wonderful thing to have. And I don't think people in El Paso really realize how crucial that is, not only for business but for community. When you have that kind of service, that's really dedicated.
Well, we think so. I mean, and I guess it's because it's not so much a business plan as it is a belief system. Mm-hmm. In what we're doing and how we're doing it. If it were a business plan, I'm not sure that it would be the best one because, you know, in any business plan, it's all about the numbers, right? It's about how many people can I sell my service to? Right. So as a business plan, it might not rank near the top. But as a belief system, then that changes the dynamic. And now we're doing it not from a number standpoint. Although, don't get me wrong, we're in business, obviously. You know, we have to pay the bills. We have to pay the caregivers. That is a part of it. And I wouldn't want anybody to think that we're, you know, not doing that because we are. But, you know, when you're operating from this is what we believe in and this is how we believe in doing it, your decisions are made differently than just because of a spreadsheet.
See, and the decision for a family to place their loved one in a place – that counts heavily in your favor because the belief system has been kind of lacking in society of late. It's always been about the numbers. If you check out a lot of the homes around, not just in this area, but I mean around the country, if you check out a lot of the homes, you're going to find that it's all about the numbers. That one of our former hosts went to an assisted living center in North Carolina. Now, why she chose North Carolina was exactly why what you just spoke about. It wasn't about the numbers. It was about the type of care and the type of living facility that would afford her husband the friends that he used to have here. That's what really drove the decision.
Right. Well, and I think for the families that come to us looking for help, you know, they're worn out. They're at the end of their rope. They're frazzled, if you will. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for some kind of help. But they don't want to be saddled with all this guilt of, well, I just put my mom or my dad in some place that, in good conscience, I just really could never see myself doing because I never thought that she'd be there. I never thought that I'd have to do this. We're trying to help alleviate that, at least to some extent. I don't think anyone can alleviate it completely just because we're human beings and we feel that way. But to say, well, though I can't handle it, and it's okay that I can't handle it. I'm not superhuman. I need some help. At least I'm going somewhere where we have a similar belief system. We believe in family. We believe in individual care. They believe that my mom is someone who can still offer something, not just some old who knows who that gets to pay us a check every month. You know, this is someone who's going to benefit us by her presence. I think that makes a difference.
I think it makes a big difference. Sabrina, we haven't really had a chance to talk to you much about this entire topic.
I think that what Chad is saying is that they have a mission, and the mission is to give the utmost care. And they've partnered with one of the best geriatrics physicians that we have in El Paso. So it's an all-in-one place that they can rest assured that their parent or grandmother, whomever, is in good hands, but also being supervised by a physician who specializes in those areas. So I think that the partnership is mission-driven. It's not business-driven. It's they're passionate about the mission to take care of that patient.
It's a fascinating way to look at it because in this time period, we're in the throes now of the 21st century, and I'm looking at this entire process from a almost a Victorian sort of way of looking at it, where the extended family now goes beyond my cousin, my grandmother, and all that. But it goes to the caregivers that, Chad, you and your facility have. You know, your caregivers, Dr. Chabuk, you become part of this extended family of the patient who's now there. You know, they put their trust in you guys to help them along every day. And it's something to me that I think is so lax in the medical system. I just saw my best friend from Washington State, her dad passed away just recently, 95. Yeah. But he got lost in the system. Now, I'm not here to bash. Don't forgive me if this sounds bad, but the VA lost him through the whole process over the last 5 months of his life. They just dropped the ball.
Well, Dennis, here, I just want to just add a little bit. You know, the longer we progress, I've seen, you know, happening in society, the more you become more dishuman. You know, industrialization, expansion, corporation, running business now from a different state, especially in the long-term care, looking at numbers, having regulations after regulations, makes almost impossible to have what Chad is proposing and he's doing, not proposing. Now, why we do that, I would say, because I'm thinking, and I think maybe Chad thinks the same way, that somebody, some way, when we reach that age, we want to have that type of attention and care.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put aside, you know, the VAs and whatever, but you think when you reach that age, what you personally would like to happen to you, where you want to live, knowing that, let's say, you don't know if you're going to have a family anymore. You don't know you're going to have friends anymore. What you're going to do? All right? Go in those type of facilities where everybody's running numbers and everybody's doing their, how you call those? The face?
The selfies.
Right. And you know, and that person stays there in a corner. All right, that's the way it is. However, numbers look good, inspections are okay, so the business goes all right. The bottom line is we become this human. It's not anymore care of the patient. Okay, it's a business driven, and regulation after regulation. So we want, that's what I want. I want to die and to retire in a place like that, not in a place run by numbers. So this is why I want to do it.
Mm-hmm. And we're the same. You know, that hope, that desire, that what you're sending out will come back to you at some point, that what I'm sending out as far as how I'm operating, how we're going to take care of people at some point will come back to me when I'm in the same situation. I think that's something everybody thinks about.
Well, I had today a very good experience in your, you know, I had a patient that actually she is, you know, end-stage kidney disease. She's like 88 years old, okay? And she was so happy to see me that she said, ask me if I'm married. And she said that she wanted me to divorce my wife and to marry her. So, you know, I'm serious. And you know, this is something that for me make my day, all right? Mm-hmm. I just give this example happened today. And, you know, for me it's much more than going and check some numbers. But we have to check those numbers too.
Well, that means that a human connection is happening. And how often do we skip over the human connections, especially now? Because I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm doing whatever I'm doing on my phone, on my laptop, on my iPad. And I completely missed the 5 human connections that I could have just had. And, you know, so when you hear a story like that, you say, wow, I'm not sure that happens much anymore. Well, it's our own fault that it doesn't happen anymore. But how do we get back to it? And how do we get back to it is what we're talking about, is how we stop thinking about all these other things and we try and have a human connection, maybe with somebody we're not comfortable with. Maybe when I'm 24 and I'm a caregiver for someone who's 94 and I know nothing about them and our likes and dislikes are completely polar opposite, stopping and saying, you know what, I bet I could still learn something from this person. I bet I could still have a connection with them. You know, going down that path, it's monumental now.
Well, I can tell you that another patient of what I've seen today, okay, she's 92 and she was lying in bed and she had an Apple laptop and she was on Facebook.
Right.
And she's 92, okay, so grandma computer. But again, I would say that, you know, technology and depends how you implement it.
Yes, because what she's longing for
exactly.
is
so it can
a
make
human
an
connection.
Impact.
Yes.
However, I'm talking about the other aspect of it in which, you know, you are totally not seeing friends anymore, not having any more connections. But most of us as humans, if we do not socialize, we're going to die.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's nobody there going to come on the air now to say otherwise to me. But that's what we are. And that's what I think we should, that's the way we are born and that's the way you should die.
Yes. That's true. We have to. We're all connected, you know. And when we run from that, you know, you look at all the depression and the other things that happen are so common now. Not that they're not real; they are real. They're very real because we limit ourselves. We put ourselves in the corner. We stay at the house and don't do anything and don't see anyone and don't talk to anyone. Those are the things that happen.
Well, I think that's if the audience got it. What we're saying here is great. I hope they got it. And I think that the model it's I would say a rollback model on the human nature, and I think that's will have a very good, you know, impact, and the residents and we as, you know, caregivers, whatever is dedicated to that, we're going to have rewards. I'm going to get a lot of probably people want to marry me, which is wonderful. And I like it. You know, I never had so many proposals. But
Well, I think the residents adding to that and the way that they've built Good Life is it's an open floor plan, if you will, where there's a lot of opportunity for socialization. And as Dr. Chabuk was saying, communication. And it's essential for that patient to feel human still by having communication. And the residents, Good Life Senior Living is built, they're all built where there's an open environment. There's an open kitchen where they can see cooking going on.
Right.
And one of the standing rules is that there's always something cooking in the kitchen. So anyone who comes visits their loved one, it'll feel and smell like home, like a home. And so there's all this communication going on, which, as Chabuk says, Dr. Chabuk says, is essential to thriving, you know, and that's why they want to marry. They want to marry you.
Right.
Well, you know, we're going to have to leave it right there. The next time we get together, we'll talk about health, nutrition, the cooking facility, the whole nine yards. So, of course, Mikasa, Sukasa, Chad, how do they get a hold of Good Life Senior Living?
Okay, so you can do a few things. You can go online, which is maybe one of the best, to our website, goodlifeseniorliving.com. Another great way to check us out is on our Facebook page, because all this family stuff we've been talking about, there's the proof of it. You can see the pictures. You can see, you know, everything we're doing right there for the whole world to see. The other way, you can obviously call us at 915-701-9620. So those are the easiest ways.
Wonderful. I want to thank all of you for coming to El Paso Primetime. We'll do it again in a few weeks.
When you think about contributing to this station, you've got an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other.
Becoming a sustaining member of this radio station will make you feel great.
The only reason people give money is to get those tote bags.
The greatest gift is the soul snuggles you get from supporting something you love.
Hey, kid, you want a tote bag? I got a guy who can get you a sweet tote bag. His name's Brody. His van's parked behind the gas station.
Don't do it for the premiums. Donate because it makes you feel awesome!
Psst. You want commuter mugs? I got a commuter mug guy.
Become a sustaining member of this station today. And thanks.
Pledge online right now at ktep.org.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. We had help this week from Deidre Westenhauser, who also recorded the show earlier in the month and then helped put it all together. We certainly hope you'll think about contributing to all of the fine programs here at KTEP. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening.